We'll maybe make a wee start. It's near enough half past, isn't it? So we're really glad that you've joined for worship tonight in Abbot's Cross. And after this morning's joyous event as well, just with all of the kids and the leaders as well. I heard some of the leaders singing through the microphones. Everyone did really well this morning. And tonight then is the youth service. So the young people of the church, it's not a takeover. We want to just try to be a blessing to those who serve faithfully and consistently every week. And so we've got some of the young people playing the music tonight. We've got some young people doing the announcements and greeting and singing, and Aaron bringing an epilogue after tonight. But we're really glad that you've joined tonight. And our prayer is just simply that we as one body, as one fellowship here this evening, would just engage in worship of the risen and conquering Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to begin our service just by prayer and seeking just the Lord's will and blessing for us this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad to gather in this place tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity and for the freedom and the health, Father, to be able to come and to join with one another in obedience to your command to not forsake the gathering of the brethren. And Father, we thank you that in this place this evening, Lord, is something that is connected to your promise. Father, your promise of blessing and of building your church. And Heavenly Father, just at the outset of this evening, we do just pray, Lord, that tonight would be something that is worship in spirit and in truth. That each one of us, Lord, no matter what our minds would fix on or what our thoughts would wander to, Lord, would you keep our eyes and, Father, our thoughts fixed on you? For there is no more beautiful thing, no more precious thought, Father. Nothing as wonderful as gathering together to worship you. And Father, we just pray for all of the young people who will be involved tonight, and we just pray, Lord, for your help and, Father, your spirit to bless through them and bless them for tonight. We do thank you, Father, for the joy that was in this house this morning with all of the children of this church, and we do pray on for them too, Father. But as we just seek to worship you in song and in your word tonight, we ask, Lord, that we would be just conscious of your presence gathered in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was made to
Now my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. Isn't that a true statement of the real heart of worship? Isn't that a true statement of Christianity? Not a religion, not an activity, but finding the treasure that our heart was made for. Wonderful truth for that. We are going to keep singing and lift an offering while we do so, but before we do, we're going to have another prayer, and Rebecca is going to come and pray. Thanks.
Evening. Before I was going to pray, I just wanted to read a few verses that have really been blessing me lately. It's Psalm 34, and it just says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you that, Father, we can praise you at all times because you have given us a hope in you. Lord, you have given us something to be joyful about. And Father, I just thank you that we can come here tonight, Lord, and we can praise you as one body in Christ. Lord, I just praise you. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to come tonight with open hearts, Lord, willing to, Lord, rejoice and praise you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And Father, I just pray tonight for, Lord, people who aren't able to get out to church, Lord, people who are sick or for any other reason. And I just pray, Lord, tonight that they would know your joy and your peace, Lord, just as much as we do here tonight. And Father, I just pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Rebecca. We'll remain seated for the first part while the offering is lifted. We'll sing Light of the World. Again, if there's a chance just for change of position, I'll give the nod for that. But we'll remain seated for the first part, Light of the World. Thanks, Amy.
Oh,
It's great tonight to have one of our young people as well, Aaron Kirkpatrick, just bring a short word as well from God's Word. So we're going to invite over to you, invite you up now, Aaron. Thank you.
Hello there. Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah. Wave if you can't hear me. And of course, all of my friends wave at me. Great. Welcome to our youth service. If it's your first time here, you're especially welcome, but also don't be fooled. It's not like this every week. Normally someone much older does this part. Did I say older? I meant someone with much more experience. That's what I meant. Okay. So yeah. Hello, welcome. It's really good that you're here tonight. And before we actually start to read from God's Word, I just want to encourage you. I want to say thank you. Thank you to faithful parents and faithful grandparents and aunts and uncles for sending young people to RYF every week. On behalf of the committee as well, of the people who organize this, we also want to say to the young people that we all think that you're absolute legends. You make us laugh, you keep us young, and most of the time you're really well behaved, or at least I think that's what they wanted me to say. So tonight, although it's designated a youth service, it's actually not all about the youth, but it's about the one who we owe everything to, and that is Jesus Christ. And I just want to take time to thank him in prayer. So we're just going to do that now, if you would just join me in prayer. Father God, we give you all honor and praise and glory for this evening. We thank you, Father, that through Jesus Christ and through what he did on the cross for us, and because he is resurrected and in heaven, that I can just talk to you right now, Father. I'm so grateful that I can pray to you, and we can just cast ourselves onto you in times of trouble, in times of thanksgiving, just whatever the situation may be. Father, we just thank you tonight. We're glad that you're here with us. You're one of our number. Father, we know that you're present here because where God's people are, you're present. And we just praise you for that. Father, I just pray that tonight you would give me courage, you would give me strength, and that also that all of this, whatever I may say tonight, that all that would be remembered from it would be Jesus Christ. And I just thank you for this evening. Amen. So tonight, I'm going to speak on Psalm 145. So if you just want to turn to that, and just while you're doing that, I'll tell you a bit about it. This psalm is described as one of praise, at least in my Bible anyway. And it's written by David. And tonight, my hope for you is simply this, that you will see your eternal value given to you by a loving God, and that you will understand how we have been made to worship him and how we will do that forever and how it's all about him and bringing him glory. So Psalm 145, I will just read it for you now. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his words. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. And we just want to thank God for his word. I'm just going to set this down, and I'll hopefully not stand on it. So I want to start by asking you a really open-ended and philosophical question. What is the point in our existence? And I'm really sorry to begin with such a deep question, but it's a really important one, and I really want you to think about it tonight. What's the point in our existence? It's the sort of question that if you ask 20 people, I imagine you would get 20 different answers. For some, the point in life might be to be successful, to have a well-paid job with a chance for a promotion, to be able to retire early and enjoy the later years of life with family and probably a massive pension. That sounds pretty good, right? But truthfully, I don't believe that this is the point of life. I don't think success is what it's all about. Seeking success will always leave us unfulfilled. There's always going to be someone better. For others, life is about living. For experience, it's about making memories with the people around you, the people you love. It's about ticking boxes off on our bucket lists. And like these things aren't wrong. You know, we all want to go and have a good bungee jump every once in a while. Andrew, I guess, maybe, I don't know. but I still have a different view on purpose. Maybe you're one of these people and you're here tonight and you don't believe there's any wider purpose. You're here because this is what life is. You experience some good feelings, but mostly life is meaningless in the grand sense of things. Mostly it's mundane and very often it's full of pain. In life, the people you love the most, they only last a short time, and then that's it. Maybe you experience fear of death because you haven't done anything that you'll be remembered by. You haven't done anything significant. Maybe you just worry about if there's even anything after life. Maybe that's you tonight. But I'm going to be clear on what I believe. I believe there's purpose. I believe that you have eternal value. And I believe that you were made for something. And I believe you can experience what that is tonight. And that's the decision that I want you to be thinking about making tonight. Go home with purpose, or go home and keep searching for it. So what is purpose? What is our purpose? Well, the psalmist has been showing us our purpose throughout this passage. Our purpose is to worship God. Our purpose is to enjoy God. If you're a Presbyterian, or you really just love a good theological document, you might know this as man's chief end, which is to glorify and enjoy him forever. The author has a lot to say about this. From verse 1 to the very end of the passage, he worships God, he enjoys his presence, he understands that God is worthy of glory. Let me talk you through a few verses which will help us to understand this. I'm just going to read 4 to 7 once again. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud to your righteousness. So David is offering glory to God for his mighty acts and his wondrous works. And if anything, this shows us that God really has a desire to be active in this world that he's created. If we go right back to the start of the Bible, we see God active in creation. God created the world by simply commanding it into existence. He spoke and it was there. He made man and woman not because he needed them to be satisfied. In fact, God is completely self-content without any of this. But because he is truly perfect and desired to share what is truly perfect with us, and because he loves us, and because he wanted connection with us, he created us. And he made us like him in his image. If you look to Genesis 1:27, that's where you'll find that. Effectively, God created us to have connection with him. We are meant to be in close contact with God, our Father. And when we're not really fulfilling our purpose. And if we're not fulfilling our purpose, then I don't really see a point in life. Because eventually success, experience, whatever it is that you're looking for, it's going to fade away. And then what's the point? Really, what's the point? God can give you a purpose that lasts, one that is not solely based on when you feel good or when you're doing well at whatever it is that you do, and one that even extends beyond death. God really wants to share himself with us. Some may ask, does this make God an egoist? Does God have a really big head? Does God need our affirmation? No. God is literally the best that we can possibly have. So good that the very words in this psalm, they're not enough to describe him. They're not enough to understand the extent of how good God truly is. He made us to be showered with unconditional love, not to experience superficial relationships where people just want to take from one another. He made us to experience total unity in this world, not to experience a world that is full of war, where men kill other men for no reason, where families become broken, and where churches really do nothing but judge and criticize. God wants to share his perfect self with you. You were made for this purpose. Let us now look to how we can start living for this purpose. Let me talk about our salvation. Let me read for you verses 17 to 20, and within these verses, we're really going to see the crux of it. I just want to point out that these verses, it creates a distinction between God and man. I'll just read them to you now. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He's kind in all his works. God is truly righteous. Not sure if you've noticed the world around you at the minute currently, but it would suggest that humans, they're not really that righteous. How often do you come home from work and stick on the TV and you just see utter chaos? And eventually it's just ignorance, isn't it? We just sit there and we think, why am I even watching this? And we turn it off and we pretend like it's not happening. There's such obvious evil in the world. There really is, but it goes deeper than that. Unrighteousness goes even further than the obvious stuff. It's even more than just a few bad people. It extends to our very nature. Me, you, everyone here. You see, as I said, this world was made perfect. And it was God's desire for us to enjoy his perfection. But he didn't force us to. He gave us the choice, because how can I call God loving if we wouldn't make the choice, if we couldn't make the choice? And despite knowing that God is perfect, we choose to say no. We choose to say, I don't want this. We choose to rebel. We turned our backs, and through the sin of Adam and Eve, we become sin itself. That's our nature now. Sin is not simply bad things that we do, but sin is in fact every part of our being. It runs so deep that we can't even understand it. We don't know the lengths that we would go. So deep that we lie about it. We say we aren't as bad as other people. We make it a comparative thing. We point to other people's sin all the time. It's just what we do. The minute we disobey God, we lost communion with him. We lost relationship with him. And that God-given image that I talked about, well, that became twisted. You hear sometimes that the reason that we can't have communion with God when we're sinful is because God is holy and can't have sin near him, hence our separation, but I disagree with that. Sin does not make God jump and run. God does not fear sin. Sin cannot taint God's holiness, but rather our sin means we're ignoring God, we're separating ourselves from our purpose, and God's crying out for us. God wants to know us. God wants us to come back to him. And if you look to the verses 18 and 19 again, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. If we call on God, we can be saved. That's the beauty of the gospel. God, knowing that we would never have it within us to repair our own relationship with him, he knew that we could never earn it. He decided he would repair it for us. And that's totally ridiculous when you think about it. To break it down, God makes everything perfect. He makes a perfect world. He makes perfect people. He gives us everything that we could ever need. And we say, no, I don't want that. In fact, we give up on him not just like one time, but we give up on him basically every day. I'm not up here because of my own merit. Like, I'm kind of a failure. I fail all the time. I fail consistently. I make mistakes. I want to do my own thing. I'm not good enough, but God still chose to reach out. He chose to reach out even when I didn't want to hear it, even when I didn't want to know it. And I'm only here because of him. And because we turned our back on him and we chose our own way, we become deserving of death. That's what Scripture says. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Probably learned that in Sunday school. There must be punishment for our wrongdoings. That might seem unfair to you. Why would God punish people? Why does he even care? But God calls himself just. God must punish evil, because if he doesn't, well, like, a lot of guilty people seem to get off the hook. How can he call himself just if that's the case? Verse 20 notes this. It says, the Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So we're deserving of death, but we don't have to die in our sin, nor does God want us to. God, in the ultimate act of love, humbled himself so much so that he stepped down from glory, he stepped down from splendor, he stepped down from his perfect kingdom, and he sent his son into the world, and he lived amongst these broken people. He lived amongst the people of this earth who just seem to tear each other apart all the time. God is totally self-content without us, but he still saw it fit to make a way for us to be reconciled with him. Jesus knew no sin. He was perfect. He still is perfect. He experienced true humanity, just like me and you. He was tempted to do the wrong things, but he didn't feel like others had. As said, sin deserves death, and Christ, knowing this, was commissioned to be our substitute. On the cross, every sin on him was laid. My sinful nature, your sinful nature. Think of the vilest people on this planet that we've seen, that history has shown us. All of those sins laid on Christ. Doesn't seem fair. Seems pretty scandalous. It seems pretty ridiculous. When we think of the cross, we think of physical torment. We think of nails being driven in to Jesus' hands and feet. We think of him wearing a crown of thorns. But what about this kind of torture? Every single sin that ever was committed, every evil act that ever was done, laid on someone who didn't deserve it. A perfect Savior, led like a lamb to be slaughtered for the very people who abused him, for the very people who nailed him there in the first place, and for a world who still rejects him even today. But why? Why did he do this? Why did a perfect God die for broken people, for sinful people, for evil people? He did this because he loves us. He did this because his love for us is immeasurable. He did this because he wants us to enjoy what is perfect. He did this because we're made for him. We're made for the God of heaven. We are made to enjoy everything that he has for us, and we're made to do this forever. He died to save us, and then the Bible tells us he rose again, and he ascended to heaven. Christ is now in glory, and he's there interceding for us. The very prayer that I prayed at the start is prayed with broken words, but Jesus in heaven makes them perfect before God. God does not look on me anymore as a sinful person, but he looks on his very own son, Christ, who is perfect. So in closing, what are you going to do with it all? If you're a Christian tonight, what I want to tell you is that you keep going. Verse 21 states, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." David's truly excited to praise God forever and ever. Maybe tonight you're saved and you're walking with the Lord, but you're not enjoying him. That's the other part of being a Christian, is actually enjoying God and what he has for us. But maybe you're trapped in a sin. Maybe there's a circumstance that's causing you to fall apart. I just want you to give it to God tonight. Prayer is vital, sometimes difficult, so I want you to be reminded of this. Be reminded of the scandal that is God's grace Be reminded that he still has grace for you, even when you mess up. Be reminded that he made the first move in saving you. He did that. He chose to reconcile us to him. And you know what? You might not feel like it a lot of the time. You might not feel like you're a good Christian. You might not feel like you're doing anything right. But listen, salvation's really not based on your feelings. It's based on the truth. And the truth is that God loves you, and he'll never stop loving you. Praise God that he chose us, and he chose us forever. Not just when we're having a good day. And finally, be reminded that he has won. There's no reason to fear anymore. Jesus has beaten sin, he's beaten death, and he reigns forever. So keep living in light of this. Keep living for your purpose to glorify and enjoy God. Maybe you're not a Christian. Firstly, can I say, I really love that you're here. And I get that you might not love it because I just get that you might not love it. But I love that you're here. And I imagine church is a hard place to be. And I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know what you're facing. And I don't know what's happened in the past. But I can tell you this. You'll not find anything better than Jesus. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy. And there's no purpose that you can create that will be more fulfilling. There's simply nothing. So there's a decision to be made tonight. You can go back to meaningless normality, or you can go forward with Christ into this eternal value and purpose that he has for you. And I'm not promising an easy life. God calls you to bear his cross. There will be times of trial. There will be times of suffering, but Christ has won. Give your life to him tonight. Stop searching. Start living for your purpose. So that's really all I have to say, is that you have a God-given purpose. God is calling out for you to know him. You were made for this. This is what you were made for. Nothing else in life is going to fulfill that gap that you maybe see right now. And if you don't see it now, trust me, you'll see it later. So I just want to close in prayer, if that's okay. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us purpose. Thank you that this life is led to worship a God who has given us everything. You have given us life, Father. You want us to live it to the full, and the only way to do that is if we know you. And so, Father, for those who don't know you tonight, I just pray that they would take that step. Father, maybe they think that they can't keep it, but it's you who's the faithful one. Father, it's you who saves and saves forever. Maybe they just think that they're not ready for it tonight, but Father, the hour of salvation, it's now. So Father, there's nothing more that I can say that can make someone come to you, because Father, I am just here to serve. You're the one who saves. So I ask that, Father, you would just move in a mighty way tonight. You would bring people back to you, or you would, Father, for the first time that we would see someone declare their love for you. Father, that's what my prayer is right now. And I just leave that at the foot of the cross. And I just praise you that you've won and that we live in the light of that. Amen. We're just going to close by singing King of Kings.
We'll stand for a closing hymn. Thanks, Amy. encourage you just to commit yourself to pray on for the young teenagers of our church fellowship here, who maybe some are still deciding if they have faith of their own to be born again in Christ, or maybe they are saved, but pray for them, especially at this time as there's stress for exams. Perhaps some are finishing school at the end of fifth year or at the end of upper sixth and finding what step is next for them. Do just pray more than that, that the teenagers of our church will continue to find that Jesus alone is the truest treasure and the truest purpose. And that's a prayer that the Lord is pleased to answer. Remind you as well, just there's tea and coffee in the prayer room served by some of the youth leaders. Do please stick around and join in fellowship, and we'll close just this part of the service now in prayer. Father, we thank you for speaking here this evening. We thank you that you are a God who speaks, and what an amazing message you speak. What an amazing hope you offer in salvation. What an amazing love that we just can't get our heads around. What an amazing grace that all who cry out for salvation all come to experience. Father, thank you for Christ. And we just pray that here in this, the unity of this church fellowship, that our eyes would be fixed on him, our hearts would be captivated by him, our walk would be worthy of him. In his name we pray. Amen. Actually.